This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Where will Occupy Wall Street occupy next?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There is a hearing going on right now at a state court in New York on whether it's okay to bar Occupy Wall Street protesters from Zuccotti Park in Lower Manhattan. Now, just after 1 o'clock Eastern time this morning, police raided that camp that served as a staging ground for weeks now. At least 140 protesters were arrested, and Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith filed this report from near Zuccotti Park.
The court hearing going on now will determine whether protesters can keep occupying Zuccotti Park and whether they'll be allowed to set up tents and tarps. Police emptied the park early this morning, citing health and safety risks. Protester Aaron Harnley stood outside the barricades at Zuccotti, saying this will only reinvigorate the movement.
What it did was it succeeded in giving the movement a lot of attention and some drama, and so I think that will not succeed in ending the movement at all.
Hundreds of protesters are surrounding the park now, chanting and awaiting the judge's ruling. In Zuccotti Park, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Moving on to Washington now, the House Financial Services Committee is looking at a bill this morning that would suspend the pay packages of top executives at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Those execs at the government-backed mortgage giants earned almost $13 million in bonuses last year. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
In this morning's hearing on the bill, House Financial Services Chairman Spencer Baucus said he's no fan of the government regulating private sector salaries, but Fannie and Freddie aren't in the private sector anymore. Taxpayers have spent about $170 billion bailing out the companies since they nearly collapsed during the financial crisis.
These lavish compensation packages and bonuses are, in my mind, unreasonable and unjust to taxpayers whose assistance is the only thing keeping Fannie and Freddie afloat.
In a building on the other side of the Capitol, Fannie and Freddie's chief regulator defended those lavish pay packages before the Senate Banking Committee. Edward DeMarco is acting director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency. He says the government-run companies have had a hard time attracting and retaining executives.
Compensation and the uncertain future of the companies are both often cited as key reasons.
Back in the House, the bill under debate would limit those executives to the government pay scale, like any other federal employee. Baucus pointed out that top cabinet officials, like the Treasury Secretary, who could earn millions on Wall Street, make only around $200,000 a year. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
So, let's do the numbers. Markets are down right now. The Dow is off about 66 points, about 0.5%, at a hair above 12,000, 12,012 to be exact. The NASDAQ off 0.33%, same for the S&P 500 at the moment. European shares were down as well. Business inventories were flat in September, meaning companies didn't keep their products stocked up as much as they have been. Those flat inventories could also mean next month's GDP could be revised downward. I mentioned Europe down. Office Supply Store Staples says that crisis, the European debt crisis, is hurting its bottom line as sales around the world were down about 1%. But the world's biggest retailer, Walmart, said today stores open at least a year had better than expected sales for the third quarter. Same store numbers were up 1.3%. And Home Depot said it made close to $1 billion over the last 3 months. Their sales up 10% over the last year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by Money Magazine's Take Charge Live, a series of events designed to help you take charge of your finances, November 16th at Boston College. Registration at moneytakecharge.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2012 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
We told you just a moment ago about some decent numbers at a few of the big chain stores. There's official word today from the government that the nation's retail sales were up in October by about 0.5%. That's a positive sign just a little more than a week before the biggest shopping day of the year. Marshall Cohen is a retail analyst with the NPD Group, and he's with us now from Long Island, New York. Hey, Marshall.
And how are you?
Doing well. And retail sales, not that bad either. I mean, what's behind these numbers?
Well, what we've got is the consumer that is, you know, despite all the issues that are floating around, they're sitting there saying, you know what, we're going to go it alone. If the government isn't going to help us get out of this economic downturn, we're going to spend our way out of it.
All right, so we got this good news, and we're headed into the holiday season. What are you expecting there?
There's not a lot of extra inventory in the stores to get a lot more growth. So if things stay status quo and November 22nd comes and the government figures out a way to get the debt ceiling resolution through, then we should absolutely have an uninterrupted, modest growth holiday season. If things change and they can't solve the debt ceiling problem, we may see some distractions that'll pull back on the consumer, and the consumer may kind of spend a little bit less than we're expecting.
Now, I know we've seen the holiday shopping season get pushed up earlier and earlier. Some stores even opening on Thanksgiving late at night. Is there a point where consumers just draw the line and say, hey, I'm not going to shop at this time?
Well, the interesting thing is that retailers have finally entered into the 21st century. And what that really means is that with the advent of the internet, the retail stores, the brick and mortar stores, have been almost at a disadvantage to some point because they're not able to have the consumer shop in their pajamas. Well, now that 24/7, 365 day a year experience is going to pretty much come to everybody, whether you want to shop online or in store. Retailers have finally recognized that old traditions need to be changed, and you're going to see some new traditions like opening up on Thanksgiving Day, because it's really about the early bird catching the worm.
Marshall Cohen over at the NPD Group. Marshall, thank you.
Pleasure.
And finally, a California State Appeals Court has ruled that you don't have to have your foot on the gas to be driving. A Bay Area man appealed the ticket he got for talking with his handheld cell phone. He said he was stopped at a long stoplight and hung up the phone before he started going. Well, the three-judge panel said the definition of driving in the California law includes being behind the wheel during fleeting pauses on public streets. In other words, find another excuse. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Droughts don't necessarily lead to this. Politics do.
No toilets, no clean water. The kids were half naked.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The real causes of famine, as our series Food for 9 Billion continues. That, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.